This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here, sitting with shop owner Travis Troy from Honest Wrenches in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Vision KC 2022 studio. I asked Travis point blank what it cost him to take his entire team to Vision this year. I talked to so many shop owners at Vision KC 2022 that closed their shop to take their entire team for some of the best training and networking, both technician, service, and management. I stopped counting at 30, the number of shop owners who closed their shops. There had to be 100 or more based on my very simple survey results. Some strategies were to uplift and cross-train their people into leadership roles by selecting that type of training. Travis and his partner Josh know they'll get a huge return on their training investment, and the message is, get out of your comfort zone. Thanks to Shopware and Apex for partnering with the industry's premier podcast. Now, how many tabs do you have open on your screen right now? Come on, be honest. Shopware's all-in-one shop management platform provides direct integration to more than 3,000 business and marketing tools so you can focus on your day. Talk to my friends at GetShopware.com. Apex 2022 will build upon the unique dedicated space for the service professional designated as Repair Shop HQ. And inside of Repair Shop HQ is Joe's Garage with 10 working bays and key aftermarket suppliers demonstrating their products and their services. Plan on being in on the Apex action November 1st through the 3rd, 2022 in Las Vegas. More info at AAPEXshow.com. Hey, welcome everybody. It's Carm Capriotto. It is Vision 2022. Travis Troy is with me from Honest Wrenches. Hello, Travis.
How are we doing?
A couple of years ago, I was here, and then there was the COVID lockdown, and then, of course, we did virtual Vision in 2021, and now face-to-face.
And it is huge this year. I mean, everybody is excited, ready to get out and get some amazing training. So
when Travis came into the studio here, by the way, it is, thank you so much, Vision, for having me here. I don't know, got 4 or 5 years in a row now. This is the place I just love to come and hang out because it's big, but it's brother sisterly, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's our 30th year.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing?
It is. I'm 30. So that's I mean, I was born when this started. So.
Well, so here's an amazing thing. Travis is 30. We're going to talk about his business. He's been on before. Aftermarket Weekly, what was that number? 87 that we did. Hadn't been maybe but 6, 8 weeks ago. It was a great tour. Thank you for being on. But Travis is also a great contributor to the Midwest Auto Care Alliance, Milwaukee, who really is the sponsor of the show. And of course, thanks to Sherry Hamilton and Jerry Holcomb. And, you know, Jerry was one of the original founders. Spoke to him this morning. And you said that this morning you volunteered behind the registration desks. And in 1 hour, you did what?
In under 2 hours, it was over 1,150 registered people that came in and picked up their packets. It was absolutely amazing to watch the teamwork behind the counter and the systems that we put into place and just rocked it out. It was awesome.
It's amazing how all the pre-planning, right?
Yes.
All comes together.
Yes.
Amazing stuff. Well, Travis is here because you know how I like to tell stories of success, 30 years old, and Travis has got some really good things going on. And if we don't tell those stories, people will never know that of the possibilities.
Right. Yeah. They've got to be able to see the light as well.
Yeah.
You know,
you opened in
2011.
Partner Josh.
Yeah, partner Josh.
The last time we talked, I walked away with a phrase called the little engine that could. Tell me about what I meant.
That little engine that could is Josh and I having the power and the will and the passion to be able to take, you know, working in a two-car garage to opening a legitimate business inside of a storage unit. And then moving to our very first location in which we're still at today.
So if you're in a storage unit, there's hope for you.
Hey, everybody's got to start somewhere, right?
you ever watch those crazy shows on TV? There's always a storage unit in one of those mysteries, right? They're always breaking off the lock and looking in. Yeah. And then, you know, you as a – and then they go to commercial break, right? And then they come back. And then they show you what they found, and it's usually never anything really big.
Right.
But you guys started off in a storage unit. Then what kind of shop did you go into?
So we went into a 2,400 square foot. They actually used to paint dumpsters inside of it.
Ah.
So there was paint everywhere, all over the floor, and the place was just a disastrous mess. A lot of elbow grease, a lot of late nights cleaning that place up. And we had one lift.
Okay.
We actually bought it, put it in the storage unit when we were there, and then we were able to move it with us.
You see, those are the sacrifices that people make to get going. I'm sure if you had enough money, you would have had four bays and seven lifts or
whatever.
but you don't, and you sacrifice, mm-hmm. you dream, you have a purpose, and you ultimately get where you want to go through what? Hard work, sweat equity. I mean,
yeah, you've got to have the passion for one and the capacity to want to continue to grow and be better than what you were the day before, because we're going to run through challenges every day. And at the end of that day, we've got to look at that day and we cannot give up or let that day eat our lunch. We've got to have the will to drive through the next day and start every day fresh.
It's a great attitude to have. Josh shares all that with you, right?
Absolutely.
And where did you guys start? I mean, where'd you meet each other?
So we actually met in college. I'm from about 3 hours away from where we're at now. And I specifically moved down there for college. And we got partnered up in an electrical class. And that's how we actually had to exchange numbers.
What kind of electrical class?
Yeah, intro to electricity.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of our first classes in college.
But it was automotive.
Yeah, automotive. Okay. Yes. Right. Yep. And so he was working on brakes from somebody's vehicle that he worked with, and he couldn't get the rotor off. It was just stuck on. And so he was stuck. And so he had my number because we had exchanged numbers for this class. And he said, "Hey, can you come give me a hand?" "Yeah, absolutely. Give me your address." And I have no idea where I'm going. So put it in the GPS and showed up to his house, and we got it off. And he's like, "Well, hey, I, you know, kind of work on cars on the side. It helps me, you know, get a few extra bucks to get through college. Would you mind working with me?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I don't know anybody here. I just moved here." And so him and I went from, you know, working on one car on a Saturday to four cars to six cars to eight cars Saturday and Sunday.
And where? In his garage?
In his garage, okay. Yeah. Yep. We didn't know we were doing anything wrong. We were trying to pay our way through college.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And the city came and said, "Hey, we know what's going on." Well, we didn't even know what was going on. So they enlightened us.
Oh, that's really funny.
And they shut us down. And at that time, I was working nighttime as a diesel mechanic. So we'd go to school all day and then I'd work at night. So for about 6 years, 4 years after college and the 2 years while I was in college, I worked 18 hours a day, literally 6 years straight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, I've heard stories like that before. And if anyone ever would find out what I did in my 20s, and I called it burning the candle at multiple ends.
Yeah, I did it at both ends and in the middle at some time.
I know. It was amazing. And then I could think back to that time and all the things that I don't even want to list them what they are. I had this unbounded energy.
Yes.
And I think it helped set my trajectory in life.
Yep.
And so I'm here sharing.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm saying, you know, you did one thing, but I did another and then another and another. Diesel mechanic, part-time weekend, college. Good stuff. I love it. I mean, you're made of good stock.
Yeah. And I've still got the passion today. I can't stop.
Well, you're 30. I mean, don't stop.
Exactly.
That's great. I'm 30 and I don't want to stop. Good.
I'm still going and I have the passion and the drive to do the 18-hour days still if I want to and continue to grow a future for our team. That's really what we're doing now.
That's great. Now, you're a small store, 2,400 square.
2,400 square foot. We have three bays and then we somehow figured out how to squeeze a lift in the center of two of them.
Okay.
So you could fit like a really small car in there.
Well, that's okay. There's a lot of small cars out there. And you're killing it. I mean, that's one of the things that Travis says, we're killing it. So is it about the fact that when you first started out, you had the cheapest prices in town?
No.
Smart. Interesting. Yeah. Good answer, by the way. My audience knows I was hunting for that answer.
We actually are added to that. We're tucked behind two really, really rundown houses.
Oh.
So it doesn't even really look like a what somebody would see as a repair shop.
So you upgraded a little bit from
The storage unit. Yeah, we didn't want to get too crazy, so we decided to go in somebody's backyard again.
Why go on a busy street?
And you know, at about that time that we moved is when we were introduced to Vision. I mean, we could barely rub two nickels together.
But how did that happen? Did somebody pick up the phone and say, okay?
I consider him, and Tim and I have become really good friends over the years. And he showed up to our shop with our BG sales rep, which is still to this day. And, you know, he showed up and Nathan, our BG rep, had seen something in us and wanted Tim to come introduce himself to us. And we signed at the dotted line that day. At that time, it was ASA Midwest, and became a member. That really grew my passion and be able to come down here for training. We've been here every year since.
So you closed the shop and brought your team.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the story here with Travis, he's my first interview here at Vision. I'm not sure if it'll be the first one that I release. But the story goes is for me to set up our interviews here, to bring on an individual who has closed a shop. And by the way, you're not the only one. I mean, this is right. Becoming a trend.
It is.
Great friend of mine from Arcade, New York, Jim Fleshman, his wife Shelley's here with their five. Closed it up, changed the voicemail that says, hey, we're away for the weekend. We're doing training. You condition your customers. And there isn't anybody that I have chatted with over the years who said they never missed a sales beat. We got it back.
Oh, my goodness. When you – and this is what a lot of people don't understand as shop owners that look at it just from a money aspect. Oh, my goodness. I can't lose sales. It costs me money to come. You can't afford not to come. And we all know this, especially as owners. When we come to something like this, we get invigorated. We get refreshed. We come back and we are literally ready to just hit the ground running. But we didn't bring our team. They're still stuck in the mud.
And they can't relate to a thing you're telling
Nothing.
Them. Oh, my God, I was here and I did this and I saw that.
So
this is okay, good for you.
We know the same old tale, right? When we do leave and leave our team behind,
yeah.
They all say, well, can't wait to hear what we're going to do when he gets back.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't go to a management class. Because every time I did, I don't mean to interrupt your train of thought, they'd come back and says, oh, damn. Right. Carm's going to sit down with us in 2 days. We're going to have a meeting and we're going to have to change.
Right. Now, when you close and you bring your entire team, that momentum that you take back to the shop, March is always one of our strongest months.
Yeah.
We get back from Vision and everybody as a team hits the ground running.
Yeah.
And it really sets us up for the rest of the year.
So everybody who's ever been on the show that talked about getting a coach you can't afford not to, going to Vision, shutting down, bringing your team you can't afford not to, and they're sick and tired of hearing that because somebody must have paid Travis to be here to say that. And, you know, why would Carm allow somebody to come in and lie to us?
But the reality is I couldn't afford to come when I first came.
Ah.
So now I get to literally sit here and say, this when I couldn't afford it, mm-hmm. And I just said, well, it is what it is. I'm going to do it. Put it on a credit card, whatever. I was able to come. And what it did to my life, our business, and our people now is you can't afford not to.
Okay. You don't have to do this if you don't want. But I would love for you to even shape some of the numbers for our listener. Because, okay, I have to hear this again. I'm going to turn off. No, don't turn off your player. Listen to this if you're willing to share. You can't afford not to. Okay, so you drove. Mm-hmm. There's no plane ticket here. I get that part. And so the plane ticket could be the largest part. But boy, I know Dwayne Myers brought 10 of his youngest people here. Everyone knows what Dwayne. He's been on my show before. And he brought all of his young people with him. Not only to be trained, but to get immersed in the industry. Deep end of the pool, right? Yep. So you have a hotel, you have the training events, you have the banquets.
Dinners. Activities.
What are you spending? Would you be willing to share?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about a $20,000 investment.
It's a $20,000 investment.
Yeah.
On your P&L, on your budget line for training, there must be a number there.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
Oh, really?
And insurance used to be the largest number on the P&L. And there's been a paradigm shift. We invest more in training than we do on anything else on our P&L. On an expense side,
you must be Albert Einstein.
I mean, we invest a lot in our team and to train them. It is It is one of those things that it's my passion. It is my passion to grow our people. And it never was. It was my passion was to grow me. And I realized that our team, when they get to the growth that we are at right now, I can no longer do it alone.
Right.
It takes an army now.
And the thing I love about we come back and we have that spirit and that energy, it's probably easier to implement a policy change, a procedure change, because they know it's going to come from you, because they were in a technology class, you were in a business management class, and they want to come back and practice what they learned. And they says, well, so does Travis have to.
Right. Absolutely. And the beautiful thing about that is now I've always had an accountability partner with Josh, my business partner, but we have multiple accountability partners now. We've got people on our leadership team that hold us accountable. It's not just us holding them accountable. It's a two-way street. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
And so if you had gone from the guy who helped Josh pull off those brakes many, many years ago, who taught you that? I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking you had to, the other thing, you can't afford not to hire a coach.
Right.
You're not getting that kind of business acumen unless somebody's helping teach you that.
Yeah. So I'm going to get emotional here.
All right. I'm proud of you. I'm happy. How many team members did you bring?
12. Yeah.
12.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we've got 12 powerhouse people, coming and,
you, Josh, and 12 others?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's the biggest number I've heard so far.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, 12 people and, leadership training, technical training. We've got technicians in leadership training.
You basically said, guys, here's the itinerary of classes. Tell me what you'd like. Will you and Josh say this is good for him or her and this isn't?
Absolutely.
You hovered over and you helped manage it.
So we let them choose the classes that they want to go to.
Okay.
And then from there, we'll influence if we see something that we feel that they can work on or the direction that they're going for their growth in their professional career, where we've got some technicians that are really wanting to lead into a foreman role. At that point, we're not going to send them to all technician classes. We need to start curving them into that leadership role,
sure,
getting them into some management training and allowing them to get that side of it. And that's really what I love about Vision is we're able to, this is that huge growth part. Every single year, we take these people that want to grow within our organization, and throughout the year, we do it as well, but this is the beginning of it.
Yeah.
We get them in, we get them set with meetings. Foreman 20 groups and all this other stuff. And this is really where it all just kind of takes off.
Did you hear that? Foreman 20 groups. So the point is that there's a 20 group or a networking group for every position in the business.
It really is.
And you got to just let them go and let them come back and tell you what they learned or what's going on or share one of their challenges and learn something new and implement.
Yeah.
They'll never learn if they're not. And again, I think I love peer networking. I think it's just phenomenal stuff.
Hey, Carm here. Now, Travis shares what it took to turn their second shop into a gold mine. When you started in business, did you really think that cars would be driving themselves and that people would be buying cars online without even test driving them? Well, I don't think any of us did. And yet that's exactly what's going on. On the repair side, the auto industry is changing fast. Customers expect quick answers and proof that they need the repairs you recommend. They want to pay you while buying a coffee and then rate you on Yelp after picking up their keys. So why stay in the past? A shop owner named Carolyn asked herself the same question, so she created an online shop management system that automates the stuff you do over and over again. She and her team added texting and every step in the process from booking your appointments to posting that stellar review. They learn from their customers just like you learn from yours. And it's the system that's leading the industry into a bright future. Check it out at GetShopware.com. The number one reason shop owners attend Apex is to see the very latest new products and technologies. In my opinion, a close second is the opportunity to meet face-to-face with people to discuss issues and new opportunities. And let's not forget how much fun it is to get together with friends in the industry, both old and new. Apex is the one place to see all the people, products, services, and technology that affect your business and your profits. Plus, you'll get to participate in the best industry training while you're there. And don't forget the service professionals focused section, Repair Shop HQ. Within this dedicated space, it brings the feel of a working shop to your Apex experience. Besides top training, you'll be in working bays and experiencing new tools, technology, and equipment firsthand. Hey, mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2022, November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. Keep in touch at AAPEXshow.com. Travis, all the things that you've learned over the last so many years, you were telling me, listen, I kept some that really worked, and I threw some on, you know, on the floor that didn't. So you're not doing things in the same old way you did even 1 or 2 years ago. You're constantly evolving.
Oh, yeah. As we continue to grow, I mean, processes are broken and fixed, I mean, daily. I mean, you go from, you know, two people, me and Josh, to 4, 5, 6, 7. We're I mean, with support staff and everything else, I mean, we're almost 20 people now. So you get that, and it's you've got to break and rebuild processes along the way.
Did you make money in your first year?
Yeah. And our accountant was really surprised. We've made money every single year we've been in business.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
So many people just, they go into business because my boss can do this and he can drive a brand new truck and it ends up becoming a struggling hobby. Yeah.
I always say, you know, I came from nothing in life. And so when we got into this business, it was really cool. Josh and I, both of us really didn't come from anything. And when we got into this and we got to taste a little bit of money and see what that was like, I always said, I'll always stay humble in that aspect. It can leave as fast as it came. And, you know, it's tomorrow's not always guaranteed. You have to make sure that you stay humble in that aspect. And that's with your team and everything. You know, your team could leave you tomorrow. And you've got to really care about your team and your culture and know that if you don't, it can all be gone.
Something that you tried that didn't work. Can you pull something off the top of your head?
A lot. I mean, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about Josh and I is we were never afraid to try anything. We didn't know any better. So when somebody threw something at us, and that's really where we got to where we are today is, you know, we go to this stuff and then you hear the naysayers that say, oh, that's not going to work, or there's no way that you can do that. Well, I won't know if I don't try.
Yeah.
So then we go back and we figure out how we're going to try it. And so when we realize that, you know, everybody's like, well, you can't run a business without a service advisor. You guys just can't do that. And we're like, well, we're going to try. So we put a Bluetooth headpiece in and a little pocket notebook in our shirt, and we were working on cars, and as soon as that phone would ring, we'd hit that little button and we'd do the notepad and we're writing everything down, and we had a process in place that if anybody went to the office, you added it to the calendar and then you ripped that sheet off. So as soon as you added it to the calendar, you ripped that sheet off of your notebook and we know it's on.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool. So you didn't have to worry, double check, did I or didn't I do it?
Exactly. If you put that on there and then you just stick it back in your pocket, at the end of the day, you're like,
Did
I remember to do that or not? It's ripped off and gone. See, checked that off your list.
So you're a process guy, I think, right?
Very process driven.
Ah, okay. And how about Josh? Is he different?
No, he's the complete opposite. Ah. And that's what we call the yin to the yang.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I was about ready to say, do you each have specific roles?
Yes. And that's, everybody says partnerships don't work, and that's a whole nother podcast that we could do. Right? We could get me and Josh on.
We want to do that.
That would be awesome, because Josh and I are a true testament of debunking that. We've got an amazing partnership, and a lot of people told us it wouldn't work.
Just knowing you for a few years now, you don't have an ego.
No, you've got to leave the ego at the door. And at the end of the day, you've got to have an understanding. And what I tell anybody that's in business with another person, define roles and never compare. Never compare. Because you're never going to be equal. One guy says, well, I put 52 hours in and you only put 48, or I put 27 and you don't compare.
You know, I've known some friends that had this issue, and the comparatives came from the spouses.
Yeah. Oh, we will always have the spouse issue, right? But it's getting them closer and closer to us. And that's what we've done. We went through that in that growth phase, right?
Yeah.
Where it was Josh, we're 10 years apart. So Josh is 40, I'm 30. And so there was a time where he had a son that was in baseball and all of that. Well, I didn't even have kids then. Well, yeah, he's got to go do that. My day will come,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then at that point, it's like, well, I'm working all the time and he's off on that, you know, and then you get the spouse that gets a little upset and you have to build them and train them too and get them to have that understanding that we're in this together. Okay. Without one or the other, we're nothing. It takes us together as a family to continue to grow this.
The spouses then have to look at how each of you react to mm-hmm. those situations yeah. and say, listen, I guess if it's okay with Travis.
Yeah, and they do. They really, and Kim is Josh's wife, Sarah's mine. And, you know, they've really over the years have created a really good understanding and know that, you know, Josh and I are doing something not for just us, not for just our family. It's for a lot of other families. And on top of that, it's for all of our clients too. We've got to build something that is sustainable for them as well.
Ultimately, they're with and for your people. But if you don't have clients that respect and trust you, you don't have a business.
Absolutely. Yes.
You can have the greatest relationships with your people, but you have to treat your customers like their family.
Right.
Yeah. You're in Des Moines.
Yep.
I remember you saying, I have this interesting story about the Tale of Two Cities. and I think it's important to tell this story. Why is there value here? Because I think it has to do with marketing and, yes. and how the community looks at us, and especially in your case, where you're located.
Yes.
Tell us the story.
So we are located on the property line, on the line of two cities, and we're addressed in Des Moines. But literally, basically across the street is Ankeny. If you get on Google and you search Honest Wrenches, the first thing that comes up is Ankeny. The phrase that it finishes for you is Honest Wrenches Ankeny. Oh. If you're somewhere in Des Moines and you search Honest Wrenches, and then it comes up Des Moines. So the residents in Ankeny references us as Honest Wrenches in Ankeny. And the residents in Des Moines reference us as the Honest Wrenches in Des Moines. And we're still one store.
On the border.
Well, on the border. That location anyway. On the border. And we are able to really tackle two really strong markets. Ankeny won't drive to Des Moines for car service because that you're in a different town. That just seems like a really long drive. And Des Moines is definitely not going to go north to Ankeny. I mean, why would they do that?
Oh, I see. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's something that we didn't even know we were doing until it started happening. And I was really working on the marketing side and it was just a lever that we weren't really utilizing and we own it now. I mean,
so did you do anything fancy in Google AdWords?
No, but any of our print mail and stuff like that, and if it goes to Ankeny, it says that we're in Ankeny.
Ah.
And anything in Des Moines says we're in Des Moines.
Absolutely. So yeah. You can't really create one marketing piece.
Yeah.
It has to be specific to the town.
Right.
And you figured that out how long ago?
We've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not only did he go from backyard to storage unit to 2,400 square, you now have a second store.
Two locations, correct.
And, you know, they say that store two is a pretty tough big move.
Yeah.
How far away?
It's about 13 miles from the other store.
Okay. And what town is that in?
That's in West Des Moines. So it's on the west side.
It's on West Des Moines. And tell me about how it came about. Did you buy it? Did you start brownfield, greenfield? What did you do?
So Josh and I, you know, we had talked about the future and where we were wanting to go. And the team members that we were attracting really wanted to see growth in our organization. And for us to be able to give them that, we had to go either build on to our current location or go to multi-stores. So we kind of started looking, and my neighbor's actually in real estate, and he ended up getting this client kind of dumped on his lap, and he had never really done auto repair. So he came over and started asking me for some advice. Hey, you know, where do you think we need to be here? And so on and so forth. And then finally, the one day he said, well, would you guys just be interested? I said, well, Jason, that's a really good question. Let me discuss that with Josh. So that was, I want to say mid-February 2020.
Did he have anything to sell?
No. So he was hosting for the property owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the real estate agent that was basically taking over all of the lease stuff for
him. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the shop that was in there ended up getting evicted just due to lack of being able to pay the rent and everything else.
Was there any traction for customers the day you opened?
Absolutely none.
None. Okay.
From them, no. From the previous place. I mean, that place was an 8-bay shop, and I think two lifts were operational, and all other 6 bays were completely covered in car parts. You couldn't even walk in there.
What a mess.
It was a mess. 3 months of my life devoted to that, of cleaning it up.
And how many dumpsters?
I don't even know.
And so you really basically started from scratch.
We did. We started with bare bones. I mean, the place even needed a new roof, tuck pointing, all new garage door openers, all new plumbing and everything, all new furnaces, all new AC units,
but
completely gutted the office, everything.
You didn't buy it.
No, we leased it.
Wow. And so the landlord threw all that in there?
No. So we really worked very well with them, and we were able to compromise, and we did a lot of the legwork. They provided some of the stuff. We really met in the middle, and that was a really good beginning relationship with the landlord, of being able to start that off on the right foot. Because we were able to get them to help with the roof, and then we gave some extra money on that. And
but it is affected in your lease payment, obviously, that you invested there?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so all the lifts were theirs, right?
Yeah.
And since that's considered an integral part of a building,
yeah,
our brand new lifts that we put in there would essentially have to stay. Well, we've got that in the lease that we get to take those if we ever leave, stuff like that.
Got it.
Because every single lift in the place had to be replaced.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great lesson to have. You see a place that has an opportunity, get creative.
Yeah.
Don't just don't say that you can't make it happen. Sit down with the landlord. Finding out that you had a bad roof, did he tell you that, or did you send an inspector up there?
No, so it was inspected and said it was good. Well, when I was in there cleaning, I mean, it's raining and it's leaking everywhere. And so then they came out and patched it. Well, and then another leak, and then another leak. And finally, we were just like, guys, we're not the shop that was in here previously. We're a professional shop, and let's figure something out to make sure that we can operate and not have buckets laying around everywhere.
All right, so you're starting from scratch. What did you do to grow it?
Time. Seat time. And we did all the marketing stuff right. Everybody's got to try you out, right? And so my expectations were extremely high, and almost, I mean, they were unreachable. And that's just me as a person.
Those are called BHAGs, right?
Right.
Big ass hairy goals. Yes, right.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, but we were able to get our team in there, and we started, so we took over in March, and we weren't planning on opening until June. So we brought our team into the other store, started getting them trained up, getting them ready to transition over. And then we got over and we hit 2 huge months right when we opened. And then the honeymoon phase fell off,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so then we kind of slowed down a little bit, and I'm like, oh my goodness, we've got marketing going. We're doing everything right. And I just realized it takes a little time. That store is going to be right next to our other store that we took 10 years to build. And I'll give it another 2 months. They're just... It's taken off. It just took a little bit of time. Get our name out there. Really, really wow some people. I mean, we've got like 1,500 reviews at the other store, 4.8 stars. And then you see the other store, we were barely breaking 100 reviews because it was brand new. And we had to completely wipe the other company that was in there's Google page and everything. So we started from scratch on SEO and everything. So everybody still wanted to go to, they would be willing to drive from West Des Moines over to Ankeny, because they would see the two stores and they'd be like, well, they got a ton of reviews. I'd rather just go over there. And so we'd explain it to them, and we'll do whatever. We just want to accommodate them.
Out of that honeymoon phase where a ton of people came in, were you then trying to select the customers out of those, if you will, coupon hunters, to try to build really good long-term customers?
Yeah, absolutely. And we were able to do that very successfully. And we've already retained a ton of those clients. But we had a lot of the clients that were going to the previous owner that wanted to come in and think we were going to be the same thing. And, you know, we just politely explained to them, you know, unfortunately, that's why he's no longer here.
Yeah.
And we just have a little bit different standard, and we truly care about you, and we want to be able to take care of you.
Is it tough to convert someone like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When they're totally, you know, just price driven and look at absolutely no value that you offer, at that point, it's a price game, and we're unfortunately not in that game.
So you're coming upon a 1 year anniversary in June of that second store, and based on your high expectations, are you a happy camper?
Absolutely.
Good for you.
And what makes me most happy is our team. I mean, they make us proud every day.
Tell me the staffing. How many techs, service advisor?
So we've got five techs, 2 service advisors and a support and 3 service advisors. But unfortunately, Sean is having some health issues right now over there. And then we've got 3 service advisors at the other store and 6 people over there.
You're rocking the world.
Yeah.
Multi-million.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll break 4 this year.
You'll break 4 with 2 stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
from, hey, come over and help me take my rotor off.
Right.
Oh, my. Yeah. For sure. You and Josh have to do an episode with me. I want to get this partner dynamic down. There, to me, when you think about young people that are entering our industry, and they have this vision and this dream, but the money may not be there.
Yeah.
The expertise may not be there. The process guy, the vision guy may not be. Ooh, wait a minute. And figure out how partnerships work.
Yeah, you've got to take each other's strengths and let them own those strengths.
Yeah.
Don't try to get into their lane, right? Josh has some amazing strengths that I do not have at all. And I have some amazing strengths that he's like, I'm checked out, man.
And stop thinking, let me see, what would Josh do right now? No, just let Josh make the decision.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one thing that him and I have in our defined roles is whatever decision he makes, if I don't agree with it, I respect it.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
And we'll discuss it.
Yeah.
If we think it was the wrong decision, I was like, oh, we won't do that again. And we've done that many times.
I've been in some interesting meetings where the group always knew that there's going to be a vote. There's going to be discussion. We've got all the due diligence, throw everything up on the table. If I don't care if you're a yay or a nay.
Yep.
At the end, in a democratic vote, if you will, if it was 3-2, 3 in favor, then those two had to salute the flag.
Yeah.
If they wanted to continue to be gamefully employed or in the family or whatever.
Yeah, you have to respect the decisions. And if, you know, too many chiefs, not enough Indians, that makes it really difficult in order to run and operate a successful business.
You joined ASA Midwest a bunch of years ago that now is the Midwest Auto Care Alliance, Milwaukee. And there is so much energy going on nationally to come under the Auto Care Association's, if you will, banner.
Yes.
Let's just sum this thing up. Your advice to anyone wanting to get involved in an association?
Yeah, get involved in an association and a coaching company. It's not one or the other. It's both. And that's truly how you start getting yourself around the like-minded, the people that want to grow, the really intelligent individuals that are in this industry that, you know, I still meet to this day. And it's just like, wow. I want to be like them. And Ron Haugen is that guy. That Ron had a shop in our town, and I latched on to Ron when I was, you know, had no idea. And I just really loved his passion for this industry. And I really embraced that, and I have the same passion now.
Ron was a very early interview that I did many years ago. Of course, I think we're coming up to 7 years, 1,000-plus episodes.
Wow, that is amazing.
We've got to figure out how many hours, Tracy, that we have in the can. But Ron was kind enough to come on, and it was really during his think of succession. And I'll never forget, you know, I latched on to that, and Ron came on and discussed a little bit of never not sharing all the details, but how he had this, you know, earn equity thing is to me from an internal candidate, it's just one of the coolest ways to succeed a business. And so even at 30 years old and Josh is 40, you guys can't not think as many as you think you have 30 more years to work, but I don't think so.
No.
You're too successful at a young age that you could sell or succeed a successful business. I can say that 3 times fast and do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes up in our annual meeting every year, has for the last couple of years, of what is that succession plan look like? We have different avenues. Multiple different avenues of what piques our interest.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, not today, not tomorrow, but it's definitely something that if you don't start thinking about it, if you don't start planning on it, it'll come up and it'll catch you really quick. And Josh has 10 years on me.
Yeah.
You know? And so those are the things that we need to make sure that we meet his goals as well.
Sure.
And well, with aligning with mine as well. And that's something that's been really, really fun for us to talk about and be able to really start planning. And honestly, it's up to our team now. Our team is everything to us, and we're doing it for them.
And they're all here.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yep.
Travis Troy, Honest Wrenches, Des Moines, Iowa, 2 stores in Des Moines. Yep. But you think you're in Anakin.
Ankeny thinks we're in Ankeny.
Ankeny, yeah. I got to learn how to say that word. Thanks for great, great wisdom. Yeah. Good show. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you guys having me on again. It's awesome. I enjoy it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.